Hi, I'm Dan Webster, film critic for Spokane Public Radio and blogger for Spokane7.com.
And I'm Mary Pat Truthart, part-time film critic, full-time law professor at Gonzaga University School of Law.
And I'm Nathan Weinbender, also a film critic for Spokane Public Radio and film and music editor for The Inlander.
And welcome to Movies 101, that show that appreciates all forms of cinema, but it is especially drawn to films that document the human condition. And few kinds of film do that more intimately than documentaries. Because The Magic Lantern, Spokane's storehouse of alternative cinema, is screening a trio of documentary studies that, in the words of theater management, speaks strong to systemic inequity, we decided to devote this show to looking at those three films. First up is Whose Streets, a look at the furor in Ferguson, Missouri, that followed the 2014 shooting of an unarmed 18-year-old Michael Brown. Then we'll take another look at two films that we've previously reviewed, each of which explores the life and writings of noted Black authors, James Baldwin in I Am Not Your Negro and Toni Morrison in Toni Morrison, The Pieces I Am. Let's begin by turning the clock back a half dozen years. As everyone knows, in the past 2 weeks, the streets of America have been filled with protesters following the death of George Floyd at the hands of Minneapolis City Police. But in 2014, much the same thing occurred in Ferguson, Missouri, which is part of the greater St. Louis, Missouri metropolitan area. Compiling footage from a number of sources, everything from TV news reports to personal YouTube accounts, co-directors Sabah Fulayan and Damon Davis put viewers right in the middle of what happened after the shooting death of 18-year-old Michael Brown. Though unarmed, Brown was shot multiple times by a Ferguson police officer named Darren Wilson. Whose Streets, which was released in 2017, picks up moments after the shooting, then records what happens over the next days and weeks as the community boils over with rage and the authorities respond with military-type force, despite people on both sides vainly trying to instill calm. Amid all the furor, Fulayan and Davis managed to tell individual stories, especially of Cop Watch videographer David Witt, who shadows police officers and documents their actions, and of Brittany Farrell, who struggles to reconcile her activist activities with her duties as a mother and her studies to become a nurse. The result is a sobering look at life in America that explores, as all good documentaries do, what happens behind the headlines.
Dan, I think you're absolutely right in characterizing this as a perspective that maybe a number of people have not seen previously. And so putting together this collage of different perspectives from the viewpoint of people who experienced what transpired in their attempts to peacefully protest this killing. And I think that, as you point out, the individual stories are what resonate the most with me, because I think oftentimes we believe, you know, that we know what happened, but we don't really know the impact on others, especially protesters such as are highlighted and showcased here, because we think, you had to spend a night in jail. That's not so bad compared to other things that could happen in the world. But then you find out that people have lost their jobs because the boss said, if you miss one more day of work, you're going to be fired. They become housing insecure. They're already, especially in current times, maybe people are more income insecure. And so seeing what actually happens as a result of people's attempt to exercise their First Amendment constitutional rights is, I think, startling in many ways that we may not think about. The other thing I liked about this film, apart from the footage that, you know, is happening in real time and then obviously edited together to tell sort of a more coherent story, is the fact that it alludes to all of these things that are wrong with the system. So, for example, we find out that Darren Wilson, the police officer who shot Michael Brown, nothing ultimately happened to him. Although apparently he's been unable to find a job in law enforcement, unlike the Diallo killer, Daniel Pantaleo in New York, who was fired only 5 years after the incident involving Eric Garner. But it also talks about the impotence of the Department of Justice. It alludes to the fact that in Missouri at the time, there was this very strange process that if you were incarcerated, you owed fees to pay for your room and board during incarceration. And if you didn't pay off those fees, then you would have to go to what is sort of referred to as debtor's prison. So the film talks about those issues. And so that's why I think this film was so powerful, because it operates on so many multiple levels. And yes, the stories of the individuals who are highlighted are what stay with you the most.
Yeah, I mean, this movie, Whose Streets, was filmed in 2014. The film itself was released in 2017, and we are now watching it in 2020. And it's crazy how much this film, despite those timestamps, felt like a news broadcast from yesterday, because so many things that were happening in Ferguson in 2014 in the fallout of Michael Brown's murder are what we're seeing all over the place right now in response to the killings of George Floyd and Breonna Taylor. Just the stark differences between what you see on a TV news broadcast versus what you see on social media, because a lot of these social activists, especially with Black Lives Matter, are using Twitter and Instagram and specific hashtags in order to communicate with other people. Just the fact that the National Guard gets called in and then escalate violence with peaceful protesters, which then leads to looting. The fact that the governor institutes a curfew, but then keeps changing the time that the curfew happens so that they have an excuse to arrest people who have violated a curfew that they didn't even know existed. And even footage of people being shot with rubber bullets and having tear gas thrown at them as they stand in their own front yards or on their own front porch. I mean, we saw footage of that coming out of Minneapolis just a couple weeks ago. And you could have told me that that was the footage they used in this film. There are even shots of police officers shooting tear gas at a TV news crew that's trying to document what's going on so that they run away. And then they turn their cameras up towards the sky so that they can't capture what's going on. So this is really electric on the ground filmmaking, where you really sense that the filmmakers have gone right into the heart of things. And I don't like making these kinds of proclamations about a film's possible legacy, but it's totally possible that this movie, Whose Streets, could be the defining documentary of our era, just because of what it captures and the fact that, I mean, it's somewhat of a historical document now because it's, you know, it's showing something that happened 6 years ago, but it also shows, when you juxtapose what happened then with what's happening now, it just proves that nothing has changed, that the same things are happening. And that's the reason that these people that have been pushed out because of the color of their skin, that's why they're so angry and that's why they want things to change. And so, I mean, this was really powerful and very sad, just having to see that and realizing, oh, this is, this is still going on.
The cruelty. So we see what happens when the body of Michael Brown is left unattended for, you know, multiple hours. We see that these memorials and shrines to his death are burned and then just callously thrown away as though they were completely meaningless. And then we see the parade of talking heads of public officials who don't ameliorate the situation in any way, but rather, as you point out, either exacerbate or escalate what is happening. And you mentioned the sort of weaponry, the militarization of the police that's really in full display here. And at one point, one of the protesters has collected different artifacts from the protests. So tear gas canisters, rubber bullets, actual shotgun shells. You know, we don't even know what all of these things are, but it just shows the sort of range of tactics and approaches and, as I said, weaponry that are employed in situations such as this.
Yeah, the only thing I wanted to add was that in terms of documentary filmmaking, I'm not so sure that this goes anywhere new. However, it does fall in line with the use of social media to give us a much more intense and personal feeling that we are there at the moment. And it falls in line with a lot of those movies that came out of the Arab Spring about the protests in the streets of Egypt and other places. And so like I said, I don't know that this is necessarily a new kind of documentary, but it's a new subgenre. And I don't know that it tells the whole truth, but can anything tell the whole truth somewhere in looking at all these things, the official stories and these smaller personal made documentaries? Somewhere there is the truth. And, we just have to keep looking for it. And that was Whose Streets. This is Movies 101, and it's time to take a short break. Before we go, remember that you can access podcasts and Movies 101 by going online at SpokanePublicRadio.org. While there, check out the individual reviews that Nathan and I write. Don't do it now, though, because we'll be right back to look at I Am Not Your Negro and Toni Morrison, The Pieces I Am. You're listening to Movies 101 on Spokane Public Radio.
Hi, I'm Bill Simer, past board chair and community volunteer. During the past few months, we've seen many things change in our lives. From working from home to teaching from home, we've managed to change many of our daily activities. But one thing that hasn't changed is Spokane Public Radio. If anything, it's been more of a constant for us than ever before. From news of the world to familiar voices from home, it's been there for us. Favorite programs and programs we've never had time to listen to are now our daily companions. They connect us to each other and to the world. Your support of Spokane Public Radio has never been more important than it is right now. Please go to kpbx.org and click on the red donate button to make a contribution today. Thanks.
And we're back. This is Movies 101, and I'm your host, Dan Webster. During the first half of the show, Mary Pat Truthart, Nathan Weinbinder, and I discussed the documentary Whose Streets. Let's now move to another couple of socially relevant documentaries, I Am Not Your Negro and Toni Morrison, The Pieces I Am. Let's begin with a look at the late writer and social commentator James Baldwin. I'm Not Your Negro is a 2016 documentary directed by Ruaul Peck that was nominated for a Best Documentary Feature Oscar and lost out to ESPN's O.J. Made in America. Peck, who is Haitian-born and once served as Haiti's Minister of Culture, based his film on Baldwin's writings, described by film critic Owen Gleiberman as a, quote, kaleidoscope and transporting 90 minutes living inside James Baldwin's mind, coming thrillingly close to his existential perception of the hidden meaning of race in America, unquote. Peck's film focuses not so much on who Baldwin was, but both on what he wrote and what he said. Baldwin died in 1987 at the age of 63, but Peck captures his essence from a collection of television appearances, archival video footage, and movie clips, not to mention Samuel Jackson reading selected portions of Baldwin's writings. And that essence never shines brighter than it did during his 1965 televised debate with conservative columnist and TV host William F. Buckley before an audience of students at Cambridge University, leaving no doubt that Baldwin was as articulate in his speech as he was incisive on the page.
I like that quote that you used from Owen Gleiberman about this film allowing us to live inside James Baldwin's mind, because after I first saw this film back in, I think it was 2017 when it played in theaters here, I actually was inspired to go and buy some of James Baldwin's books because I'd never read any. And so now I've read a few of his novels. And the thing that I think he does best as an author is let us live inside the heads of his characters. I mean, he does interiority better than any other writer I can think of. And that is juxtaposed really beautifully with how, as you said, how outspoken he was, at least in his public life. And the footage that Peck has here of Baldwin on various talk shows of the time, on Dick Cavett and Tom Snyder, talking about these issues that, I mean, were spoken about then, obviously, but weren't spoken about quite in that way in a public forum like that, in ways that were, you know, timely then and timeless now. So yeah, I think that this is a really powerful portrait of this man, but it's also a powerful portrait of the times that still haven't changed as much as I think Baldwin would have liked them to.
I want to reiterate that this movie, we reviewed this movie in the past, and the reason why we're talking about it now is that it's part of a three-film collection that is being offered for streaming through the Magic Lantern Theater, and in fact, theaters across the country, but we're lucky to have access to it through the Magic Lantern. I Am Not Your Negro. Let's close with Toni Morrison, The Pieces I Am, which was released in 2019. Of the 11 American authors who have won the Nobel Prize for Literature, Toni Morrison stands out. And she does so not just because of her gender, nor her race, but because of how powerfully she wrote of the Black experience. Yet it would be a mistake to classify her many works, among them Beloved and Song of Solomon, as mere racial studies. The Nobel Prize Committee itself pointed out that, quote, her works often depict difficult circumstances and the dark side of humanity, but still convey integrity and redemption. The way she reveals the stories of individual lives conveys insight into, understanding of, and empathy for her characters, unquote. Directed by Timothy Greenfield Sanders, the documentary Toni Morrison, The Pieces I Am, lets Morrison, who passed away on August 5th, 2019, speak for herself, even as it explores her progress from her early years in Lorain, Ohio, through her earning degrees from both Howard University and Cornell University, her teaching at various other universities, her years as a Random House editor, and then as a freelance writer and critically acclaimed novelist. The result is a fully formed look at an American literary treasure.
And the problem, of course, with the documentary about any writer is the fact that, as Nathan sort of alluded to when we talked about I Am Not Your Negro, under what circumstances do you want to watch a documentary versus read what the person has actually written? And that's probably maybe the greatest struggle in Toni Morrison, The Pieces I Am, because I loved this documentary because I really appreciated seeing Toni Morrison, who at the time she sat for this lengthy interview was nearly 90 years old, talk about her career. And there were things that were revealed that I knew nothing about in terms of her, you know, how she got her start, how she was working full time and managed to write, you know, a few hours a day. And she is witty and circumspect. And so I really loved this documentary for its aspects of glimpse behind the scenes, so to speak. But of course, reading her writing is what we hope will come out of this. So just like Nathan was prompted to seek out James Baldwin's work, I suspect or hope that the same thing will be the result of people viewing Toni Morrison, The Pieces I Am.
Yeah, and that was Toni Morrison, The Pieces I Am. And I think that we want to close the program by you, Nathan, mentioning some of those films that you found that might be worth looking into in this day and age.
Yeah, there are a lot of options on streaming services right now related to, you know, the social unrest that's happening, that's always happening in our country, but specifically happening right now. On Netflix, I think we would all recommend Ava DuVernay's documentary 13th, as well as the dramatic miniseries she made When They See Us about the Central Park Five. Spike Lee has a new film dropping. As you're listening to the show, it will be available on Netflix called The Five Bloods. There are several of his older films on there. I would recommend most highly Malcolm X from 1992, which, as far as I'm concerned, is the high watermark of historical biopics and as timely now as it ever was. Another program that you should check out is on the Criterion channel. If you're not a subscriber of that, then you should be because they just put together a package called Pioneers of African American Cinema. It includes comedies, westerns, melodramas, horror films, all made by Black filmmakers for Black audiences from the teens into the 1940s. Probably the most prominent name amongst those filmmakers is Oscar Micheaux, who is generally considered to be the first Black feature film director. And a number of his silence and some of his talkies are in there, including Within Our Gates from 1920, Body and Soul from 1925, and The Exile from 1931. And within that package, there are also some documentaries and interviews with historians to kind of give you context of all of those films. But Criterion also has some slightly more contemporary works from pioneers of Black indie film movements like Charles Burnett, Kathleen Collins, whose 1982 film Losing Ground is now available on Criterion, a movie called Cane River by Horace Jenkins, who died shortly after the film was made, but it's a feature that was produced and financed and made by an entirely Black crew that was rediscovered in 2013. The film originally came out in 1982, and it was restored earlier this year. Also films by Cheryl Dunye, a pioneering Black queer filmmaker, and also Down in the Delta, which is the only film that writer Maya Angelou ever directed. So all of those are available on Criterion right now. You can go and get a 14-day free trial period, I think, so if you want to kind of test it out and see. But it's titles like that and filmmakers like that that I think we really should be seeking out right now.
I agree. And as we mentioned previously, I think Amazon and Netflix also have a number of offerings available. So for example, Dan and I recently rewatched Black Power Mixtape 1967 to 1975. And that was a film that was made by Swedish filmmakers, documentarians, at least the initial footage was shot by them. And they came to the U.S. sort of seeking to find out what America was like. And it sort of morphs into their surprise at learning about the racial divide in the U.S. and systemic inequality and injustice. And it's sort of a capture of that particular period. And Nathan, you also talked about some historical perspectives, and I highly recommend things such as Scottsboro, an American Tragedy, about the case of the so-called Scottsboro Boys in 1936, or the murder of Emmett Till. And people should also know that through the public library, there's a database called Canopy. And so if you have a library card, a lot of these documentary films and other films are available for you to view for free.
That's all really good information. And this is the end of the show. This is Movies 101. I'm Dan Webster. And early in the show, Nathan Weinbinder and Pat Truthart and I discussed three documentaries, all streaming through the Magic Lantern. Toni Morrison, The Pieces I Am, Whose Streets, and I Am Not Your Negro. Let's take this moment to thank Pete Glarberg for producing and engineering the show, and we thank you to our loyal listeners. We invite you back next week, same time, same spot on the radio dial, and we'll again explore the world of streaming cinema. Until then, remember these words from Toni Morrison. Anger is a paralyzing emotion. You can't get anything done. People sort of think it's an interesting, passionate, and igniting feeling. I don't think it's any of that. It's helpless. It's absence of control. I have no use for it whatsoever. You're listening to Movies 101 on Spokane Public Radio.
The Movies 101 podcast is made possible by the members of Spokane Public Radio. Become a member at SpokanePublicRadio.org. Thanks for listening to Movies 101.